helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. There's an ancient Chinese curse I heard about. May you live in interesting times. Things seem pretty interesting in America right now. We have courts whipping Texas law SB4 back and forth like it's a tennis match. We have states and cities who appear to have lost all sense of truth and justice. And while the American people prepare for another election, chaos still reigns over some previous ones. It seems like we are living in some interesting times indeed. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, I want to talk about this Texas SB4 because it seems every time I complete one of these episodes, there's a new change. I mean, I'm literally thinking I'm going to get whiplash from these courts whipping this thing back and forth. Let me give you the latest update, at least from what I've found so far. So if you remember, Justice Alito had put an indefinite hold on the enforcement of Texas law SB4. That's the law that makes it a state crime to cross the Texas-Mexico border outside of an official checkpoint. I'm sure there's some other things in there, but that's kind of the focus of it. Of course, it's the idea of Texas is going to enforce what would normally be federal law, and there's a whole big brouhaha about that that I'll probably bring up again as we look further into this. But Justice Alito said, no, we're putting this on hold. First, he did it temporarily. Then he made it permanent until the issue was resolved. And then I think it was like a day or so later, the whole court said, nope, we are going to drop our hold on this law. Now, this law has been through quite the legal hurdles, right? Yeah, it went through the district court and the circuit court. And I think the district court put a hold on it. The circuit court lifted the hold on it. And then the Supreme Court, or I should say Justice Alito, put a hold on it. But then the entire court lifted the hold. And just hours later, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals changed their mind. They went from lifting the hold to putting the hold back in place. I mean, does anyone else feel like they're at a tennis match watching this tennis ball flying back and forth? I do. Well, Governor Abbott said, listen, even if this is on hold, we have other things we can do, and there are other things that they are doing. And okay, but there's one thing that drives me nuts. When I was listening to the reporting on the latest thing, is this constant drumbeat lie. And I've heard it from I've heard it from reporters. I even heard it from a constitutional law expert. Okay, he's a constitutional law expert. But I was listening to a podcast this morning. He said, no, see, this is a immigration is the Constitution restricts that solely to the federal government. And I'm to the point now where I want anybody, show me where in the Constitution regulating immigration is a power delegated to the United States. Find it, email me, post it as a comment on the show page, find it in the Constitution. The answer is, it is not there. Now, Congress has the power to create a uniform rules for naturalization, the power to become a citizen, but that's not immigration, that's naturalization. Yes, the Congress can regulate commerce between us and foreign nations. But we're not talking about commerce. We're talking about people entering the country. Congress has the power, should the president negotiates and signs with the advice and consent of the Senate, treaties. But again, we're not talking about treaties. We are talking about federal law made not following the Constitution of the United States. Now, you may think that the federal government is the proper place to do that, and I can see the argument for that. The problem is that's not what the Constitution says, and the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not what we think should be correct, not what a bunch of judges have come up with. but what the Constitution actually says. Now, Texas and several other states that have, I guess, have been joining in with Texas. They've been, was it Florida has sent National Guard? I believe Tennessee is sending National Guard. And there's a couple of fundamental issues that we need to, I want to bring back up. I know it's been talked about. I've talked about it. But there are things that I want to remind people, right? Because we get told so many things. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves the truth. Right? Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the Constitution says that no state shall, without the consent of Congress, among other things, engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. All right, now, if you've listened to me for a while, you know I'm very picky about words and what they actually mean. Technically, an invasion requires an act from a foreign enemy, generally involving a military. All right, so when you have millions of people entering the country illegally, that's not necessarily an invasion. I know, you know, we kind of use it that way, but that's not the legal definition of invasion. However, we have had multiple instances, many instances of foreign actors from groups and nations that are hostile to the United States enter the country. We have the drug cartels that have been entering the country, bringing in their poison product and bringing not only that poison, but violence and crime into this country. That, I believe, you could make an argument what it would be an invasion. We recently had another person who claimed to be a member of Hezbollah who was caught trying to enter the country and told border control that, he wants to make a bomb. That would be an act of hostility from a quasi-national actor. That would be an invasion. We've seen large numbers of military-age young men entering from China and other nations that, you know, aren't exactly friendly to us. So that could be argued it would be an invasion, which would give give Texas the authority to engage in war, right? Again, that's the specifics. This deals with engaging in war. Well, that involved calling up the militia and guarding a border, I would say, would be one act of war, because they believe they're actually being invaded, and the dangers of such are so imminent, they can't wait for the federal government to go. So again, from that standpoint, and that's the argument that I've heard Governor Abbott use most often. Now, there's another argument that I've heard made, and I've made it myself, and that's Article 4, Section 4, which says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and, on the application of the legislature or the executive when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. Now, if you read that entire sentence, we don't need an act of the state legislature to require protection against invasion. We're saying that the states can, the state legislature can request assistance dealing with domestic violence. But the United States has a constitutional duty, says, shall protect each of them against invasion. And the United States has, so far in the last several years, failed. Utterly failed in their duty to protect the states against invasion. In fact, I would say they've done the exact opposite, in that they have facilitated these invasions, whether they be truly legal invasions or simply the overwhelming of our border. They've encouraged them by putting in place policies that encourage people to break the law to enter this country. So my argument on this case is, since immigration is not a power delegated to the United States, the states have every right to regulate who comes into their state from another country. They can't regulate. I don't think they can regulate it from other states, but they can certainly do so from other countries. That is not only the United States-Mexico border, it is the Texas-Mexico border. Texas is a state. It is a sovereign state, as all of the states are sovereign states, not purely sovereign. They have partial sovereignty. They have every right to defend their borders. They have every right to defend their citizens, and they have every right to enforce their laws. The federal government has failed in their duty to protect the 50 states against this, against invasion. And again, pure invasions, quasi-invasion, I'm not changing my mind on that. The citizen issue, I should say the illegal people illegally entering this country as a whole, some of them are simple immigration issues, some of them are actual invasion issues. The federal government has done nothing. And in fact, I'd take it a step farther. So we have known enemies of the United States that have entered this country illegally, and the federal government has refused to deal with them. In fact, they've basically said, come on in. Here, sign up on this form, go to this app, and we'll fly you into this country. Or if we catch you entering here, we'll give you a little piece of paper, some money, a ticket, a plane ticket, and let you loose inside the country. Now, if some of these people, again, I'm not saying all of them, but if some of these people are actually actors of foreign countries, that they are, and I'm trying to word this very carefully, if they are acting on behalf of foreign nations, they're acting on the as enemies of the United States, and they are sending their people to enter the United States illegally, to invade the United States, then could not many of the Biden administration policies, and by the way, policies of many cities and states, being giving aid and comfort to enemies of the United States? I mean, we have China has said they plan to invade Taiwan, which is an ally of the United States and would logically bring the United States into this conflict. And they've got people in they've had people illegally enter the United States. We're getting very close to that, giving aid and comfort to enemies of the United States. Why is that important? Because that is the definition of treason in the United States. The word treason has been bandied about quite a lot recently, and I'm not real fond of that, but I can't tell other people what they can say. But when I go back to Article 3, Section 3, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Do we have a situation where possibly the president, governors, mayors, and the associated legislative bodies are giving aid and comfort to our enemies being hidden amongst the flood of people coming to this country illegally? In other words, within the sea of illegal migration, illegal entry, do we see the seeds of actual treason against the United States? Now, I want you to be very careful in listening to what I say. I'm not claiming that anyone has committed treason. I'm questioning, are we not getting very, very close to that situation? If Hezbollah, which is a quasi-governmental entity in Lebanon, if they have sent fighters to enter the United States to create bombs, does that not put them at enmity with us? And if we help them, if we establish systems that make it easier for them to enter the country illegally, are we not giving them aid and comfort? Something to consider. In all the chaos, Sadly, here's one little extra layer that I don't think many people have considered when they talk about supporting, oh, the poor little immigrant that wants to come to the United States. No, the poor little immigrant criminal that may also be harboring enemies of the United States. Now, I've heard from a lot of people who feel helpless in these situations. But I have good news for you. You're not helpless in everything. So you do have a choice in some of the companies that you support and the companies that you spend your money with. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they share your values. They offer the best 4G, 5G service nationwide on all the networks, so you get exceptional service. And their 100% US-based customer service is second to none that I've ever dealt with. They are wonderful. Patriot Mobile also donates a portion of every dollar earned to organizations like First Liberty, Susan B. Anthony List, Folds of Honors, and yes, the Constitution Study. This year, they will give out more than $1.5 million to conservative causes, but only with your help. So the time is now. Join us at Patriot Mobile. Use your cell phone in a way to stand against those who are trying to make America woke again. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution. You'll find not only some great prices on the plans that meet your needs, but if you use the code Constitution at checkout, you'll get free activation. So again, head to patriotmobile.com/constitution and use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation on your lines. And I was talking to somebody the other day who they're having issues with long COVID. They're worried about this, and they're worried about the spike protein and how it's going to affect their family. Well, the wellness company has a revolutionary product designed to block and dissolve that spike protein, the one that causes all the inflammation, the one that's toxic to your body. Now, backed by documented research, vetted by the chief medical board of the wellness company, Spike Support can be used whether you have the spike protein or whether you're trying to protect your body against it. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off their products and off your first month of membership if you use the code OUTLOUD. So go to TWC.health, check out their products, check out their plans. Be sure to use the code OUTLOUD when you check out. You'll get 25% off your products and your first month of membership, again with the code OUTLOUD.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. CofixRx has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the CofixRx banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. We're talking about the chaos being generated by both courts and states, and while we're at it, cities as well. So we've seen plenty of chaos revolving around the illegal entry of millions of aliens into this country. We've seen sanctuary cities and states being overwhelmed by their own policies and now begging for help. But there's something else going on, and it's been going on for quite a while. This time it happened in New York City. And it's a complete, what we'll call a destruction of property rights, a destruction of a person's right to property, to not be deprived of their property without due process of law. This happened in Flushing, Queens, which, if you're not sure, is an area of one of the boroughs of New York City, where a woman had inherited a nice piece of property worth about $1 million, which I don't know what the property rights are, or property values are, but in Flushing, Queens, that's not a huge place, but it's a nice place. So she goes to her home. She hadn't been living there. And upon entering her home, finds people living there, squatters. Now, according to local news, ABC 7, there have been a number of people occupying the home since roughly February 6th, and they refused to leave. Now, a crew apparently went out to interview this woman. Well, during the interview, one of the squatters arrived at the property, unlocked the door, and after being confronted of illegally entering property, the person fled. Now, the door was left wide open, so the owner and the crew entered. They found two men sleeping in a room at the back of the house. Now, one of whom claimed to have been renting for 2 days. A number of 911 calls were placed. And when the police showed up, they took the two men away. The owner explained to the police that, explained that the police apparently told her that she could be arrested if she changed the locks on her own property. Now, how did this craziness come on? How can you own property, have people entering the property, what determines squatting, right? They illegally enter and live in the property without any legal authority to do so. But now you're being told that to change the locks in order to keep them out, you could be arrested? This falls under a New York City ordinance that says you cannot evict a tenant that has been inhabiting a building for more than 30 days without this long involved process. They actually have a whole court, housing court, set up for dealing with this. Now, a short time later, apparently the two squatters that had been run off, they came back, and the police, the woman asked the police, why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave? The police said that technically he can't be kicked out. You have to go to housing court. Now, housing court takes at least 30 days to run an investigation. And, okay, I can understand you're trying to protect people from being unjustly evicted. But there's some really twisted logic. Because while one of the two men claimed they had a signed lease, they signed a lease back in October, they never provided any proof, any evidence. The owner, on the other hand, had all the necessary paperwork to prove that the home was, in fact, her home. She could show legal authority that it was her property. The people claiming to have rented there had no documentation, no proof whatsoever. But in the city of New York, the squatters win. Again, it takes at least 30 days just for the housing court to investigate what's going on. Meanwhile, these squatters are living in her home that she cannot live in. Who knows what damage they could do without any proof. I mean, again, it would be one thing if they showed up and said, here, I have a lease. Look at my lease. She showed up with a deed. If they had a lease with her, okay, they would have a point. But they don't. Now, again, I believe the New York City law was put in place to prevent, to prevent building owners from simply evicting people because they don't like them. Now, sometimes it's, you know, they're slumlords and they just want them out because they're going to sell the building or tear it down or do something with it. Sometimes it's, in New York City, they have rent control. So, you know, they might try to get a tenant to leave in order to rent their property at a more favorable rate, basically to break the rent control. I'm not a fan of rent control. I think it's illegal and unconstitutional, but that's some of the reason. And I understand the logic of saying, listen, if you've been renting, but shouldn't, if the owner can show they own the property, shouldn't the alleged renter at least have to show some documentation that they're renting? Not in New York City. Now, I have to ask you, do you want to go buy a house in New York City? Knowing that if somebody can make some claim that they've renting the house, maybe, you know, there was a time period when my father was, we call them snowbirds. They lived up in, we were in upstate New York, but they lived up in New York during the summer. And then in the winter, they'd head south. He'd go to Florida for the winter because it was warmer there. So he would be out of his home for months at a time. In fact, I was the one who collected the mail and checked on the house and make sure everything was okay. Imagine coming back and finding people who had illegally entered your house and were living there without any legal authority, but being told you can't evict them because, well, we got to go through this investigation. Without even the minimum evidence that they actually legally had access to the property. It's one of the reasons why I refused to be a landlord. I had a couple of opportunities to purchase a house and rent it to other people, and I just didn't want to deal with it. My aunt and uncle, I had an aunt and uncle that owned a trailer park, and I saw the chaos, the heartbreak they went through when they had a bad tenant. They would not only rent spots, they actually had a trailer they would rent, and people would come in, and then they'd stop paying rent, and they would do damage to the property, and it took months to get them out. Meanwhile, my aunt and uncle weren't getting paid the rent they were due. Then they had to go in and pay to repair the damages that had been done. And New York State said, well, we've got to do this to a certain extent. I understand to a certain extent. But this case just seems crazy. Now, maybe there's more to it. Maybe there's stuff I'm not familiar with. But it kind of goes to show how good intentions, yeah, they pave the way to hell. Because here's a good intention. Let's not have people evicted illegally. But now we're saying, hey, if you own property and somebody squats on it and simply claims they have a lease, well, you can't evict them until you can prove that they don't have a lease. And this, again, this is New York City, the same New York City that designated themselves a sanctuary city, meaning if you break the law to enter the country, they're not going to cooperate with enforcing federal immigration laws. Now, okay, I think it's stupid, but as long as it's within the Constitution of the state of New York, it doesn't violate the New York State Constitution and New York State law, fine. But you see, there are consequences for those actions. Now, what are the consequences of those actions? And by the way, New York City's right to shelter law, which says you have a right to shelter. You have a claim on other people's property in order for you to be sheltered. I word it that way very specifically because a right to shelter law is what's called a positive right. You have a positive claim on someone else's property. This is not directly related to this Queens issue, but in many ways, they fall under the same category of a, you know, you have a right to shelter. Now, in the case of Queens, you're talking about if you have a lease, if you've rented, you have a legal contract, there must be terms for separating that contract. In the right to shelter law, we're just saying, hey, show up and we guarantee you a place to live. Apparently, they don't guarantee it'd be a very nice place to live, but they do guarantee a place to live. And now New York City is spending hundreds of millions of dollars on these on shelter for these illegal aliens. And now they're complaining. Now, to a certain extent, you know, part of me says, well, this is what you asked for. If you couldn't conceive of the fact that offering people free shelter would mean people would come for free shelter, I can't fix that level of stupid. I'm sorry, I just can't. I feel for the people that you've scammed into coming to New York with a promise of free shelter, because they were probably thinking maybe it's a little studio apartment, someplace, you know, just a little place for me to live while I figure things out. Only to find out it's, you know, no, you're sleeping on a cot in a gym in a school building that we stopped allowing students to go to so we'd have a place to bunk you. In many ways, it is kind of a bait and switch, but it's a problem of the city's own making. And in many cases, it's a problem of the state's own making, right? Because New York State said, we're not going to cooperate with enforcing federal immigration law. And we're going to, I believe it's state level, to guarantee a right to shelter. Now, again, I know, I'm aware of a lot of people who, for one reason or another, don't have shelter, right? Homeless people. Some of them are homeless because they've had some bad breaks, right? Life isn't fair. Anyone who tries to tell you life is fair is trying to sell you something. It doesn't. Yes, Princess Bride. Sometimes, you know, you lose a job, you're paycheck to paycheck, you lose a job, and you can't find another one, and bad things happen. And I do. I used to work with a place when I lived up in New York that dealt with people like that. And they didn't simply offer them a bed, they offered them programs to get back on track. But I also know they dealt with a lot of people who the problem wasn't some bad breaks. The problem was they'd rather live homeless. They made a conscious decision that rather than the responsibility of renting a place and maintaining a job, they would rather be homeless. Sometimes it was mental issues. Sometimes it was drugs and alcohol. But that was their decision. And the problem that New York is dealing with is this right to shelter has consequences, and it creates its own form of chaos. Because now you have people paying taxes for city services that are now being diverted to housing people who came here illegally. You have people who paid taxes so that their kids could go to school, but they're not being allowed to go to school because that building is now being used to house people who came here illegally. This level of chaos is being created by states, and in some cases, by courts. But you see, it's everyday Americans that end up living with that chaos. And again, I do feel some compassion for them. But I also have to remind them, in many cases, this is happening because of the choices you made. You elected a city council that came up with this right to shelter law, that came up with this sanctuary city policy. You elected a mayor that would prioritize the illegal aliens and the homeless above the rest of the people in the country. You chose them. And no matter what we do, this is the other part. This is the other reason why I keep bringing that. I want to bring it up. No matter what else we do, until you fix the root of the problem, that is the people that are putting these policies in place, no other fix will make a difference. Not in the long term. It might make a short-term difference, but not in the long term. And I think that's really where we need to look if we wish to settle down some of this chaos. Now, one of the things I recommend is to understand your rights. Be prepared to defend and assert them. You do that, I believe, by reading the Constitution. Now, if you're looking for some help and advice of how to take your study of the Constitution wherever you want to go next, well, head to constitutionstudy.com/wizard and try our planning wizard. It's simple. Answer a few questions about your reading and what you've done with it and what you would like to do. The system will evaluate your responses and then start sending you emails with suggestions. That's absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything, but it's a great way to get some ideas of what you can do next. Now, while you're at it, another place you can check out is, well, AmericaOutloud.news. So I go there every day to get information for this program, for the website, for my own use. And I recommend you do that as well. But it's more important than ever that you do more than simply read the news, that you share the news. You find the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos that mean something to you and share them with friends, with family, social media. You see, it's the act of sharing that changes you. And by doing that, we all help secure the blessings of liberty.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about chaos. Sometimes it's created by courts, sometimes by states and even cities. And when it comes to elections, boy, Bridgeport, Connecticut has been having an awful lot of chaos. If you remember, that was the election. They had a mayoral election that a judge actually threw out because of all the problems in the election. So back in February, they had a redo of the election. And they had problems there as well. There are allegations that one campaign offered cash in return for completed absentee ballots, and a complaint from a voter who said someone came to his home in order to help him with his ballot, asked him to sign unknown paperwork, and then took his ballot. They also have footage from surveillance cameras that, they say show suspicious activity at drop boxes. Now, apparently, the Secretary of State, as required by law, has referred these allegations to the State Election Enforcement Commission to be investigated and possibly dealt with. But to have not one, but even its election redo put in question due to allegations of election, and again, malfeasance. I've been people question the use of fraud, and I believe some of this is fraud. Some of it may just be ballot manipulation. But the minority leaders in both the House and the State House and Senate issued a joint statement where they said, right now, bad actors keep breaking our election laws because they have no fear of going to jail. Our laws need to have teeth so people will think twice before engaging in this activity. It's the only way to stop it. I tend to agree with them on that if you have laws that are not enforced, a law is just ink on paper. It's not the law that changes how people act. It's enforcement that changes how people act. It's whether it's by fear of it being enforced or by seeing it being enforced on others and recognizing, I don't think I want to go there. I don't think I want to be part of that. But we have another election coming up in a few months, and I have to ask you, if you're a resident of Bridgeport, Connecticut, how trusting are you that the ballot you cast will actually be counted, and then the ballot will not only be counted, all the ballots will be counted honestly and effectively to come to the proper answer? See, we are a republic, which means we hire representatives. That's what the Bridgeport elections are trying to do. They're trying to hire representatives for the city government. But if the people who win the elections are not the majority of the people actually voted for, then we're not a republic anymore. And I'm reminded of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. If you want, I did a whole video and an article about it. You can find it at the website, constitutionstudy.com. Just look for Athens, Tennessee, and you'll find it. But that story is interesting because what you had was a corrupt sheriff and other members of the corrupt county government. And when veterans came back from the World War II in Europe, they found out what was going on. They started their own party. They started running for office, saying, if we've got corrupt people in office, we'll put our own people in office. Only to find that the elections were being rigged. There was evidence that people who were not qualified to vote were voting, that people were being paid to vote, that legitimate voters were being denied access because of the color of their skin. By the way, sheriff's deputies. And in fact, the sheriff and a couple members of the board of electors confiscated all the ballots and tried to count them in secret. Does that sound familiar? Don't watch us count them. No, we're going to count them in secret behind closed doors. No one can watch. And that's when the group of veterans said, no, we're not watching our election stolen. They armed themselves and they actually besieged the sheriff's office where they were counting the ballots. When they finally got access to the ballots, when the sheriff and an ambulance was called in because people had been injured, and the sheriff and the member of the Board of Elections escaped in the ambulance rather than the injured. When they finally got access, you know what they found? Yeah, they found evidence of cheating. They found evidence of miscounting the ballots. I don't want to get to the point where it takes armed people to make sure that our ballots are counted fairly. I don't want to get there. But it certainly would not be unprecedented for a group of men and women to arm themselves to make sure the laws were being followed when it comes to the casting and counting of ballots. Speaking of counting of ballots, you know, California had their primary back on March 5th. As of March 19th, 2 weeks later, they were still counting ballots. Now, I'm reading an article from the Federalist. This was published on March 19th. And they say the unofficial results show that 95% of votes have been tabulated in California's Democratic presidential primary versus 93% in the Republican primary. In the state Senate primary, 92% have been finalized, but they still have many ballots for several congressional races that are still awaiting tabulation. Now, while it's quite obvious who won the two primaries for the candidates for president, think of all those state and local elections that are still waiting to be decided, all because of the fact that California is still counting their ballots. It doesn't exactly elicit a lot of trust in, I still think the greatest populated state, the state with the most electoral votes, the most presidential electors in the nation. Now, after COVID-19, Governor Newsom signed a law making permanent the state's mail-in ballot, basically mailing a ballot to every Californian registered to vote, regardless of whether they're voting less or any good anymore. It also mandated that drop boxes be available 28 days before Election Day. Yet here they are 2 weeks later and now more, and they haven't gotten all the votes tabulated. Now, adding angst to this situation is in the 2022 midterms, election officials rejected over 226,000 mailed ballots. And according to a report from that time frame, there were more than 10 million mail-in ballots that were unaccounted for. California law also states that as long as the mail-in ballot is postmarked by Election Day, If it arrives at the proper location within 7 days, then that vote still gets counted. So you've got a built-in 7-day delay to coming to the final votes. Also, if the signature on the mail-in ballot doesn't match the signature in the registration, officials have to contact that person to give them a chance to fix their ballot. Oh, and they have until 2 days before the election is certified to correct any errors on their ballot. Again, these rules are creating chaos in the election system. Now, I agree. I want everybody who can legally vote to have reasonable access to voting. All right. I don't want to make voting so hard that nobody wants to do it. But I want to make sure there's a process that's at least reasonable, that doesn't invoke chaos, that doesn't leave 10 million unaccounted for ballots out there, that doesn't take until the last moment to be able to report the election results. I mean, just imagine, not that's likely to happen, but just imagine it's November 2024. Election Day is early in the month. But California, for some reason, has elections that are close. Don't expect it, at least at the presidential level, but there are others that are still close. And because of the rules they have here, it could be 7 days before they even have a preliminary answer. It could be into December before they finally have an answer, just before they certify the election to send to send the presidential certificates off to voted on. The presidential electors vote in early December. So just how confident are you that your vote is being counted properly? That your vote is not being destroyed by the malfeasance or just a procedural error by the election system? Now, I don't have the issue with reasonable early voting that some people do, right? I have less of a problem with, you know, I like a week, maybe two. Not sure if I want four, but, and again, I don't like drop boxes because drop boxes aren't monitored. There's no verification. And once you place ballots, during the Bridgeport first mayoral election, they have video of members of one of the campaigns stuffing ballots into the drop box. Well, the problem is once they do that, you don't know which ballots are the ones they stuffed in. So there's no way of segregating them to work out any problems. So I don't like drop boxes. But to have voting places open ahead of time. So, you know, most people work. If you work on the Tuesday, which is election day, it's hard to vote. But if you had a week beforehand, you know, maybe you could go on a Thursday or a Saturday and vote. Wouldn't that be that? That would make it easier for people to vote without running into the chaos we have here. Limiting the votes until they have to arrive by election day. You have to, if you want a mail-in ballot, you have to show cause for requesting a mail-in ballot rather than an in-person ballot, and it has to be there by election day so that it can be counted on time. Oh, but they won't get any chance. Most of these are sent out a month ahead of time. If you can't find time to drop a ballot in a mailbox, you know, within 3 weeks, give you a full week for it to be delivered. It should only take a day or two. Give them a full week. I'm sorry. The problem isn't the process. The problem is the voter who really just doesn't care that much about the voting. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, I predict chaos. I predict chaos in November. Not because of California, but because states across the country have the similar processes. We've turned the idea of voting, rather than making sure that the voting is accurate, we don't care as so much about the quality of the votes, but the quantity. We'll throw anybody his uncle. Just get them to vote. Get them to vote. Get them to vote. We've done that for decades. All the way back to the 70s, 80s, and the motor voter laws. Rather than saying, okay, how do we make sure that it's only people who are legally allowed to vote that are actually voting? We don't have to make it unreasonably difficult, but we really do need to do something about our voting processes if the American people are ever to trust our elections again. And if we don't trust our elections, then we're not a republic anymore. See, the thing about chaos is you have to learn to be stable in the chaos and then spread that stability around you. I know there's an old saying, you know, if you can keep your head while all those around there are losing theirs, then you obviously don't know what's going on. No. The ability to remain calm in the chaos, to be a source of shelter, to show others, yes, we can be calm. There are ways of dealing with this and dealing with it. That's what makes a difference. That's what keeps people free. Chaos leads to tyranny because people are afraid and they end up saying, I will vote for a tyrant if my life is easier. Whether you believe that tyrant was Donald Trump or Joe Biden, it happens. And that's when chaos leads to terror. I mean, it happened in Germany, it happened in France, it happened in Russia and in China. when chaos reigns, people will trade their freedoms, their rights, for the promise of being safe. And as Benjamin Franklin warned us, not only do we not deserve either liberty or safety, but we will get neither liberty nor safety. Now, here at the Constitution Study, we try to get both sides of the story. And one of the stories I want to see the other side of is that of General Flynn. He's got a movie coming out shortly. It's in April. And you can find out more by going to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie, FLYNNMOVIE. Watch the trailer, get tickets to one of the live events, or pre-order your DVD, however you want to watch it. Give General Flynn a chance to tell his side of the story. We've heard the other sides. Let's hear his. And then maybe we can find, well, some semblance of truth, some sense of stability in the chaos that has revolved around this man for so many years. I think it's worth a try, and I think it's worth the time. It's why I'm here telling you about this movie. So again, please go to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie. Find out more about the movie. Order your tickets, order your DVDs, and give the man a chance. I also hope you give me another chance. You'll come back here for the Constitution Study. We're on at 4 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen, then that's okay. Every episode goes to podcast, generally a day or two after it's heard on talk radio. So you can listen at your own convenience. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave us the episode's ratings and reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But just as I keep telling you, knowledge is not power until it is put into action. So I have an action for you. Share it. Share the show. Share the link. Share the podcast. Share this information. Show others that there's another point of view. There's a way of looking at this that is both constitutionally sound and legally supportable. See, by sharing this information, you're doing more than just spreading the news and knowledge about the Constitution Study. You're helping expose people to their rights, to the ability to defend and assert their rights. And most of all, you are sharing the most sacred blessings of liberty that we can possibly imagine. And if there's one thing this country needs to get out of the chaos, it is those blessings of liberty.